The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 10th chapter. At that time, the festival of the dedication took place in Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus was walking in the temple in the portico of Solomon. So the Jews gathered around him and said to him, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Messiah, tell us plainly." Jesus answered, "I have told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name testify to me. But you do not believe, because you do not belong to my sheep. My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. What my Father has given me is greater than all else, and no one can snatch it out of the Father's hand. The Father and I are one." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise
to you, Lord. Please be seated. Brothers and sisters in Christ, grace to you and peace from God the Father, and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Alleluia. We are still in this season of Easter. We are still Easter people, singing Easter hymns. And I apologize because the organ is under repair right now, or we'd be singing them with a lot more gusto, with a lot more big sound behind us. It's not Amanda, it's the organ. But it is Easter nonetheless, and our proclamation is bold. Christ is risen. And so now what? Our lessons today proclaim the good news. Throughout the season of Easter, our first lesson is always going to be from the book of Acts. That's because the book of Acts tells us sort of a history of the earliest of the early church. Today we read about Peter raising the dead like Jesus did. If you read the book of Acts, you get a glimpse of the excitement of that early church, their willingness to try anything in the name of Jesus, to share the good news, to lift up, to heal, to proclaim. Our second reading from Revelation is a continuation of that great hymn. The reason why we sing "This is the Feast" at the beginning of our liturgy. It's the grand hymn of the church. "Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever." And then we get called sheep. I've often wondered about this, because every fourth Sunday of Easter is Good Shepherd Sunday, so preachers everywhere have to contemplate this. We get the glory of the resurrection. We get the excitement of the early church. We get the vision of the everlasting hymn. And then we get called sheep. Have you wondered about that? I grew up on a farm, on a ranch, but we had cattle, we didn't have sheep. Our neighbors had sheep. But one thing I knew from being in that agricultural setting was, one, it's not really an exciting living to be a cow or a sheep. It's like these animals have an extra sense that will tell them when a fence is down or a gate is open. I don't know if they can smell it or if they actually have something physical about them that they know, like, oh, 80 acres that way, there's an open gate, let's go. But the fact of the matter is, in the Bible, in a time when agriculture was the normative way of life for most people, we were given lots of images of sheep and of shepherds. Jesus calls himself the Good Shepherd. We are the sheep of his pasture. What does that mean? We have some different images in front of us this morning. Of course, with Good Shepherd Sunday, the appointed psalm for the day is always Psalm 23. And I think everybody knows Psalm 23. When I work with families to prepare a funeral, I will say, are there any special scriptural references you'd like me to make? Any special texts? And Jim's smiling. They almost always say Psalm 23. Why is that? Well, it's certainly a psalm of comfort. But it's also a psalm of safety. And maybe that's something that we should look at today. The difference between comfort and safety. Have you ever thought about that? Which do you think might be more important? Comfort or safety? We all want to be comfortable. I think this image of the shepherd, of the sheep in the pasture, is one that we can paint pictures of. It's kind of like watching clouds roll by. The Lord makes me lie down in green pastures and leads me beside still waters. That's kind of my ideal for a vacation, you know? And I don't even play golf. But it's very relaxing. But further on it says, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Think about this. This is an image of war. An image of times of danger. What it's saying is the Good Shepherd brings us safety in those times when we otherwise aren't. That is an image of trust. Which is more important, safety or comfort? We all want to be comfortable. If we could be comfortable all the time, most of us would probably be pretty happy. That's why people wear pajamas out in public now. Like, I can do this. This is a thing. It isn't for me. Trust me. But we want to be comfortable. But Jesus says, my sheep know me. They know my voice and they follow me. And do you ever recall a time in the Gospels when Jesus was comfortable? I can't. I can't. He was always seeing human need, meeting human need, looking for outcasts, welcoming outcasts, feeding the hungry, healing the hurting. Jesus was never comfortable. Up to and including the cross. But was Jesus safe? Of course he was. Safe in the Father's care, even and up to and through the cross. Are you following me? Comfort is something that we reach for ourselves. But following Jesus is trusting his safety. Trusting that when we follow Jesus, Jesus will take care of the rest. One of the things I love most about this congregation is the food pantry ministry. Sorry. It was one of the things that excited me most about this congregation when I first came here. And the food pantry is in itself an act of faith, of following Jesus. And we have this understanding that when we get low on food, we ask God, and we reach out to the rest of the congregation, and we haven't run out. Because you've responded to the call of Jesus. This is part of your following Jesus and being sheep. It's also a witness to trust to the good news. You see, sometimes some of us get a little panicky about, is there going to be enough food? Maybe we should buy more. Maybe we should, I don't know. And what the folks who've been around the food pantry for a long time have figured out, Dorothy knows this, God always provides. When you're doing a ministry that is following Jesus, the Lord provides. And sometimes the most exciting part about being a Christian is letting go and saying, hey, Lord, where are you going to run with this? And following. Now, our outreach committee has heard this story, but it's worth sharing with everyone. One of our neighbors came into the church office this week, and they're good neighbors, but certainly wouldn't probably be churchgoers. And the neighbor said, my kid was involved in the Great Shake. Is that what it's called? And if you're not from around here, it's a really cool thing to get kids involved in just being people you can meet and greet in a social setting or in a job interview. Get you comfortable around strangers. So they get to meet business people and adults in the community and shake hands, give them a good firm handshake, eye contact, and then the adults ask some questions. So the family had prepared, and this is, I think, lots of age groups all the way up to high school. Sarah won this last year, right? Good job, Sarah. So they're practicing with their kid, elementary age. And I think he's got a pretty good thing going. And also taught him if there's a way that, you know, if you need more time or you don't have an answer, just say, can you give me just a minute to think about that? And so the Great Shake Day came, and someone shakes this kid's hand and says, so, if you had $1,000, what would you do? And the kid used his pregnant pause. Give me just a minute to think about that. And said, I'd keep a quarter of it and I'd give the rest to charity. And the person questioning him pushed him a little further. Well, what kind of charity? And kid said, I'd give it to First Lutheran Church. Not a member of the church. And so the questioner's like, well, are you a member or what? Why would you do that? No, but they have a food pantry. The questioner is still intrigued. He says, well, you know, is this something that your family uses? And the kid says, no. But I see the people who come to the food pantry. I see them coming for food and leaving with food. It's a little kid. So afterwards, the kid and the parents are talking. And I said, you know, last night when we were practicing, we were talking about the YMCA being, you know, kind of your charity of choice. And the kid said, but you can't exercise if you're hungry. Out of the mouths of babes. And so the family brought us a very nice donation to the food pantry and wants to stay anonymous. Because there's a kid in the neighborhood who saw us following Jesus. And because of that, more people are going to get fed. It's not always comfortable to follow Jesus. And sometimes we want to hold on to something and make it our own and say, this is my thing. But when we let go and give it to God and trust that God is going to take care of the rest, only God knows the limits of what's possible. You know the many other places that this happens and the ways that this happens. Safety versus comfort. I want to point out a little tidbit that I thought about as I was studying the lessons this week. In Psalm 23, you know, the Lord makes me lie down in green pastures and leads me beside still waters. The reading from Revelation talks about the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will guide them to springs of the water of life. Take that for a living image of following Christ. Springs of the water of life. Living water bubbling up to eternal life. Following the shepherd is an adventure. I don't know what kind of adventures you've been on. I love taking young people climbing. I haven't done it since I've been here. I haven't found a local, you know, climbing place. But one of the cool things about climbing, and my favorite was a 70-foot cliff we rappelled off of, is it's a lesson in trust. It's an adventure. It's a heart stopping kind of adrenaline piece, but it teaches you trust. Trust in the people that have the ropes, trust in your equipment, trust in the ropes, the harnesses, everything. Because if you can do something like that, translate that kind of trust to walking your walk, walking your everyday daily life, serving your neighbor, serving your God, being part of your church, trusting that Jesus doesn't necessarily make us comfortable, but will always keep us safe. Oh, and when you need comfort, that will be there too. May the peace of God that passes all understanding keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.